We're going to go straight into the word of the Lord this morning. And to this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be dealing with the second half of our series. So the title is Neutralizing Curses.
Wow.
Neutralizing Curses. Please understand that the reason for me teaching on curses is not to glorify them. No. It's to make us aware of them. But most importantly, to teach us how to neutralize them. Because the main focus that we have here is that we want to see no more curses in our lives. That is what we want. We don't want a life of curses and limitations and blockages. We want a life of freedom in the spirit. We want a life of no limits. Hallelujah. I see you getting at that level in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's come back to our foundational scripture. Found in the book of Revelation chapter 22 from verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. I like that version. No longer will there be a curse upon anything. For the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. That verse makes us realize that when we go to heaven, hallelujah, there will be no more curses on anything. But like I've been telling you from the beginning of this series, it means down here on earth, there are curses on things. There can be a curse on a car. There can be a curse on a marriage. There can be a curse on a company, on a business. There can be a curse on somebody's life. The Bible says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. My prayer is that in your life, by the time this series is over, we're going to bring heaven on earth. And there shall be no more curses upon any aspect of your life. Not because curses are not around, but because you're going to learn how to fight, how to neutralize them. Hallelujah. Quickly this morning, seven signs that a curse is upon somebody. Because I've been telling you about curses, but I haven't brought it yet personal. You get it? Like, there must be a way for you to know if a curse is working against you. So I want to give you seven signs. Now, if you have only one or two of these, could necessarily might not be a curse. But if you have three or four of these at work currently, I promise you, whether you want to accept it or not, there is something working against you. And the sooner you and I can adjust ourselves and stop pretending, the better for us.
Amen.
The better for us. People don't like talking about curses because they confuse curses with witchcraft. Curses is not witchcraft. Do you understand? Witchcraft is the work of a person trying to bewitch or misdirect using unauthorized authority on another person. But curses have got to do with your own doings. Like, the things you do can activate a curse or a blessing. So there's a difference. And again, many people don't believe that you can be born again and operate under a curse. But I'm showing you, ever since we started that, the people of God that God chose himself, they were all sometimes under curses. The people of God, Israel, God told them, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, there will be a curse. Even if you are my people, there will be a curse working against you. So being a child of God is not an immune system against curses. I hope you understand that. So here are signs that maybe a curse could be in your life. Number one, emotional breakdown. You are always breaking down. You are always depressed. You are always negative. You are always pessimistic. You are always in dark thoughts. Let me tell you something. Satan works a lot in the minds of people. You understand? So when Satan is working on somebody's mind, usually the person starts going to the dark side. The dark side. And curses affect how you think in a very big way. In a very big way. So because they have to direct you to a certain end. So you become depressed and always dark and always dull. You get it? Number two, chronic and hereditary diseases or sicknesses. Meaning sicknesses that are running in the family. Things that are happening to, it happened to your great-grandfather, and it happened to your father, then it happened to your uncle. Now it seems like it's coming to you. When you see such things, that will never happen to you, but when you see such things, you must know there is a force behind it. Number three, miscarriage or other female related problems. Miscarriages are not normal. Oh yeah, you must know that. Especially when they are repeated. Repeated miscarriages. Every time you take in, you miscarry. You take in, you miscarry. Something is not right. Or you are always going to a gynecologist ever so often. Some, this is not the tubes, the Philippian tubes are blocked, they are tight, and there's the bleeding here. There's always something that is not okay in your female side. Usually, a curse is working. 4, marital breakdown. Marital breakdown. You are now in your third marriage. And you are considering divorce again. You get it? You are now in your 17th relationship. Like this guy is the 17th in the list. That is the one you can remember. The rest, you don't even remember. This lady is the 200th level. Like she's number 200 now. You are trying again. Relationship problems. There's never stability in the relationships, either with your siblings or with your pastor or the people in the church or with people at work. Is that something is always fighting your relationships? You cannot stabilize relationship for a long time. Like you don't have friends you've had for the past 10 years. You only have a friend for 2 months. Hey, that's something is not right. Yes, sir. Something is not right there. The Bible says that your fruit may last. Your fruit may last. Even in the ministry, you win souls, you lose souls. You win souls, you lose souls. Ministry is also relationships. It's relationships. So your ability to keep the people God has given. Jesus told God that of all the ones you have given, I haven't lost any except the son of perdition. To always be losing people is actually not right. It's not right. Like you can't keep anything. You can't keep friends. You can't keep communion. You can't keep fellowship. There is a force fighting your rising. And that force is brought under judgment this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Number 5, financial insufficiency. You're always working and you're always broke. Always working. Always broke. Always working. Always broke. My brother, there's no way that you are always working and you are always broke. There is Njunju taking the money. We call them the devourers. They are devouring and chowing it. This comes, a problem comes from the north. Then next month you are protecting yourself against the north. Then the problem comes from the south. Then when you turn to the south to protect yourself on the south, then the problem comes from the east. In other words, these things always come when you least expect them. But they come for the money. When you don't have money, they go. Have you noticed?
Yes, sir.
Some of these problems, when you are broke, they don't visit you at all. It's like there's no problem. No. You go on, go on, go on, go on. The day money lends, they also lend.
Hey.
Something is wrong there. And we're breaking it in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 6, how do I know that a curse is working against somebody? Number 6 is the person is prone to accidents. Do you understand? Like, he's always finding himself in accidents. Even when there is nothing to cause an accident, he will tell you, I was just walking, I fell and I broke my arm. Have you heard of those people? By himself. He is driving on the road. There's no incoming traffic, but he's on top of a tree. By himself. By himself. And when he comes out, he can't remember how he ended up there. Prone to accidents. Prone to, like, this person is always an accident waiting to happen. Like, you just know that we're going to hear now. You give him something, you will hear now it broke. Buy him a cell phone. Within 3 days, the screen will crack. And, buy him shoes, he loses them. Or one pair is lost. These are the people that never have matching socks. Because every time, if they buy socks now, by the end of the week, one sock has, accident has happened. Accident has happened. Am I communicating? I'm not saying that this is the case. But I'm saying, if many of the things I'm talking about are happening to you, please, you must understand that something is working.
You must understand that something is working.
Lastly, number seven, a history of suicide. A history of suicide. Like in your family line, people are prone to committing suicide, or people die of unnatural death, like strange death. Do you understand? Spooky death. Yeah. The type of death that you are not even, you don't feel free to talk about. Because until now, nobody has understood what happened that day. Spooky death. Funny death. Yeah. It's just in the family. It scares everybody. People are always coming for cleansing. Eh? You're always calling people for slaughtering and cleansing and all kinds of things. Because there is a force working against the family. In the name of Jesus, that force is broken this morning. Hallelujah. Now, the good news this morning, people of God, is that God wants every single curse that is working against you to be neutralized and broken. That is the will of God. God does not want the curses that are operating to continue operating. He wants them to stop. And you know, I had never found this scripture. I just found it during the week, and it blessed me so much. And I believe that it's going to encourage you. Come with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 5. The Bible says, however, the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam. Hallelujah. But the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, but turn the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. Hallelujah. The Lord your God will not listen to Balaam. Who is Balaam? Balaam is the prophet that was hired to go and curse the people of God. Deuteronomy 23 says that the Lord will not listen to Balaam, but the Lord will turn the curse that Balaam is sending into a blessing. Somebody say neutralization. Neutralization. If that is a neutralization, that a curse has turned into a blessing. Something that people meant to destroy you, words that people spoke against you to limit you, have become your elevator. They have lifted you. Instead of limiting you, they have rather lifted you up. That is what is going to happen to you this time, is that the curse is going to be neutralized, and the curse is going to be metamorphized, and it's going to become a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you know why God is going to do this? I love the reason. He said, because the Lord your God loves you. Hallelujah. God is going to neutralize every curse working against his children because he loves them. There is no father who loves his children and who would like to see them being tormented and oppressed and manipulated. No. Every father wants the good of his children. Deuteronomy 23 says that because the Lord loves you, he is going to turn every curse into a blessing. Please receive that prophetic word in the name of Jesus, that every curse working against you is going to turn into a blessing. Why? Not because you are performing too well, because God loves you. Believe in the love of God. The Bible says, can anything separate me from the love of God? Can the moon, can the stars, can death, can life, can demons, can principalities? And Paul says, no, nothing in this world is able to separate me from the love of God. And I came to tell you that the love of God is what allows God, or what obliges God, to break the curses in your life. Because he loves you. Because God loves me, he will not allow me to descend into these curses. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm now going to show you how God neutralizes these curses out of his love. The first thing that God does out of his love to neutralize the curse in your life is that, actually not he does, he did, is that he sent his son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross for you. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish. Perishing is not just going to hell, because believing is not after you die. Believing is down here. Do you understand? Believing and eternal life is not when you go to heaven. The Bible says that if you have the Son, you have eternal life. So perishing happens here also on earth. When you believe in Jesus, perishing, that is the curse. Perishing, when you believe in Jesus, you block the perishing. You block it. And I want to take you to Galatians 3:13 and 14 to show you how God does it. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Do you understand that? It means that when Jesus went on the cross that night or that evening, Good Friday, Jesus became a curse. It's not that Jesus was cursed. He became a curse. And the Bible says he became a curse for us. That means we were the cursed ones. That's why I told you last week that when a person goes to hell, he's under a curse. That curse of hell, that curse of destruction is what Jesus came and took away for us. It goes on to say, for it is written, curse is everyone who is hung on a pole or a tree. And that was Jesus hanging on the cross. The cross is made of wood, which is the tree. Verse 14 says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Now, who are the Gentiles? Gentiles are people who are not Jewish people. And you and I fall in that group. The category, you know, the Jewish people have the blessing of Abraham by birth. God promised Abraham that I will bless your descendants. So that's why Jewish people are naturally blessed, and that's why people hate them. Because almost you can, if you go to America, 5% of the richest people in America, I'm talking about 80% of the richest people in America are Jewish people. Yeah. So they are blessed naturally, and you will do well to connect with them. You will do well to not fight them. But God did not want the blessing to stop with Abraham. He wanted the blessing to extend to the people that are not naturally from Abraham. That's why he sent Jesus. And when Jesus went on that cross, Jesus reconciled us back to God. In other words, Jesus broke the curse that was upon the Gentiles, upon you and me. And he made a way for the same blessing that is working for the Jewish people to start working for you and for me. That's what he did. Through the cross. I'm showing you how God broke the curse through his love. The love is revealed through Jesus. Jesus is God's love to you. By accepting Jesus Christ, it's not just to go to heaven. It is also to destroy the curses of life. That is what it means. And you know, as long as you don't believe that, it doesn't work. Because the kingdom of God, it is done to you according to what you believe. When you start believing that curses are broken because I have accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, it starts happening. But when you don't believe it, you just say, oh, I accepted Jesus, I'm on my way to heaven. That's all you're going to get, because it is done to you according to what you believe. May you begin to believe from today that Jesus means the end of curses in your life. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Put your hands together for Jesus, somebody, wherever you are. Now, Jesus, the cross of Jesus indeed took away the curse. No problem. But stay with me. The power of God through the cross or redemption broke the curse. But the power of God is not all God uses to neutralize the curse against you. Praise God. Are you listening to me? God uses both the power of God, but he uses something else called the wisdom of God. Those two have to work together for you to break a curse in your life. So you need the power of God, but you also need the wisdom of God. Please come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23 down to 24. I'm showing you how to combine power with wisdom so that the curse can be broken. Amen. The Bible says, but we preach Christ crucified. That's the cross. That's him being redeemed, redeeming us. Hallelujah. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, that is you and me, to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. You see, those who are called, Christ is not just the power of God. Christ is the power of God, but Christ is also the wisdom of God. So
Listen, what I'm trying to say is that breaking a curse takes more than just prayer.
And that's why certain cases are not broken, because the power of God which comes through prayer has to be combined with the wisdom of God which comes through other sources. And the two now create the neutralization of the curse in your life. And this has been the dilemma of a whole lot of people, because people go to church. I mean, you know how many people, they go to church. I mean, they even enter 3-day fasting, 30-day fasting, 40-day fasting. After the fasting, the thing has gone worse.
That is because power alone is not enough to break the curse. You need to combine power and wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm sure some of you are like, but Pastor, where do you get that? Well, come with me again. I just want to give you a few reasons before I hit what I want to actually hit this morning.
John 11, verse 43 and 44. We're seeing the story of Lazarus.
Everybody remembers Lazarus. Lazarus was this guy who was a friend of Jesus. He died, and Jesus didn't come up until 4 days had passed. Now Jesus has come and he's going with the crowd to the tomb where Lazarus has been buried for 4 days. And when Jesus arrived there, he lifted his hands, thank God, and then said, Lord, I thank you because you always hear me. In fact, I'm just talking this, saying this for the sake of the people that are around me.
Lazarus, come forth.
That is where we are picking the story. John 11 verse 43. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died, hallelujah, he who had died, listen carefully, the cross, he who had died came out, hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once blind, I once was lost, but now once blind, but now I see. Another way to say is that I was dead, but I have come alive. Our church is called Alive Bible Church, because in this church, Jesus moves people from death to life. He brings them out of graves. He brings them out of graves. Now, the greatest curse that has fallen on man is the curse of Adam, death. And that is the curse that was operating in the life of this man called Lazarus. That curse had finished him, and that curse had packed him. He was done. But Jesus, that was sent by God, because God loves you, God sent Jesus. Jesus entered the environment of Lazarus, and Jesus called the dead back to life. And Lazarus came out alive from the tomb. I'm trying to tell you that it takes the power of God to move you out of a curse. Do you understand? That is the power working. Jesus is praying to the Father, and after he prays, he makes a prophetic declaration, and Lazarus is coming out of the tomb. Mika to paladaga. This is power working. Brothers and sisters, don't play with the power of God. I didn't come to undermine the power of God. Without certain spiritual forces, a curse can never be broken. It takes power, and that power is activated through your prayer life. That's why you need to have a strong prayer life. Just having a strong prayer life is enough to get you out of the tomb. It get you out of the tomb. Believing in Jesus and engaging prayer and fasting, those forces alone are strong enough to get you out of that stony tomb. And people will see that something is happening. But look at the next line. It says, he came and he who had died came out. That is the life part, but bound hands and foot. That is another thing you are not seeing. He came out alive, but he is bound. The hands are bound, the feet are bound with a grave cloth, and his face is wrapped with a cloth. So three things are bound: his head, his hands, and his feet. He is alive. The gospel has saved him. The gospel got him out of the grave. The curse has been broken up to a certain point. In other words, people can see there are shapes, and it seems like something can happen. Something is happening, but it's not fully manifested yet. The power of God has brought him out. But he is not free. He is still bound. The head, which represents the mind, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Not as a man prays, as a man think. So because the head is still bound, guess what? The hands are bound. So he can't do much because you only do based on what you think. And equally to the head, the feet are bound because the head is bound. Now, the feet, I mean, talk motion, moving, going. He can't go far, even though he's born again. So Lazarus was born again, yet Lazarus was bound again. He was both born again and bound again. And he needed something else. He needed wisdom. Remember, I'm talking about power and wisdom working together to deliver you. And look at what Jesus did. Jesus said to them, now, you see, Jesus brought him out by the prophetic word, but he came out bound. And you would think that Jesus went back there to do it. No, Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Meaning the wisdom part. Because to lose a person, you need to know how to do it. There is a knowing how that is involved. Now, that part, God doesn't do it for us. He leaves it to us to do. And you know, sometimes if God could open your eyes to see churches, people sitting all over with grave clothes, tying their hands and their feet. They can barely see because the thing is also covering their eyes. And they are waiting for God. And God is waiting for them. Praise the name of Jesus. Lose him and let him go. Listen, brothers and sisters, to break the curse, you need both the power of God and the wisdom of God. And you see, the verse we read earlier says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of what? The law. It specifies the curse he redeemed you from. And last week I told you that there are different types of curses. Jesus did not redeem you from all curses. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law did not come with Adam, because Adam didn't bring the law. Adam brought something else. The curse of the law came with Moses. And Jesus came to restore man into a relationship with God, but man could not do it with works. So God sent Jesus to come, and that's why Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. So when Jesus came, Jesus fulfilled all the law, and he went on the cross and he died for you, fulfilling the whole law. Because according to the law, if you sin, you have to die. So when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant, I have fulfilled everything. I have paid in full. I have paid more than I was supposed to even pay. Now they are free. The law does not hold them anymore. Jesus redeemed you and I from the curse of the law. That's why anything in the law of Moses, even when you break it and you are a child of God, it doesn't affect you. Did you know that? Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. Meaning, that's why you are eating pork. Do you know why you eat pork and nothing happens to you? Because, do you know that according to the law of Moses, you are not supposed to eat pork? The day you eat pork, they're supposed to stone you. Now, some of you eat ham. You take ham. Bacon. And you add polony on top of it. Russian. Like all those Russia, Czechoslovakia, all those things, you are eating them and nothing is happening to you. Do you know why? Because Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. The curse of the law does not affect you. Even when you break it, it doesn't affect you. That's why ladies can wear trousers and it doesn't affect them, and they come and stand here and they sing. But according to the law, you are not supposed to wear men's clothes. Yeah. But because Jesus took away that curse, do you understand? So today, you can even do that and nothing happens to you. But I just want you to understand that Jesus destroyed the curse of the law, not the other ones. And what happened to Lazarus was a manifestation of the breaking of the curse of the law. Because the curse of the law is the soul that sin is the soul that will die. And Jesus came to bring an end to that death, that cycle that was there. That's what he came to do. So that the soul that believes can live. Are you following me? God is blessing somebody right now. God is blessing somebody right now. Now that is why, listen, it's because people confuse the curse of the law with curses in general. The curse of the law does not cater for the curse of Adam, for example. That's why even when you are born again, you still work hard. you understand? You don't stop working because you are born again. That now I'm born again, so Jesus has paid the price. Let me just, no, you die. You just now, everything is finished. Even though you are born again, you still have to fight the curse of Adam. That's why you go and work. That's why you wake up early in the morning, you go look for jobs. Even though you are born again, you are praying, you are fasting, Father, bless me with a job. Yeah, and I'm going to go and work. Yes, exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. Do you understand? Now, we cannot confuse those things. Now, the curse of Adam is not neutralized just like that. That one is neutralized through certain things, which is now involving the wisdom I'm talking about. Number one, the curse of Adam is neutralized by education. The more you allow yourself to be educated, do you understand? The easier it becomes for you to neutralize the curse of Moses, the curse of Adam. So the less educated you are, you can speak in tongues all you want, you're going to go and carry bricks. Not that I have a problem with carrying bricks. I carry some myself. I just use that as an example. But I'm trying to show you that certain curses require more than just power. They require wisdom. Wisdom. Man in certain countries on this world has neutralized the curse of Adam. They've neutralized it. Through technological development and advancement, the curse of Adam has become like nothing for them. Anything they want, they create a machine to do it. They have created machines to work for them, and they relax. So you need education and technological advancement to break the curse of Adam. Without that, even though you are born again, you're going to struggle. Now, there is no continent on earth right now that believes in Jesus more than Africa, currently. I can guarantee that. That actually in this era we are in, Africa is seeking God very, very tremendously, and I thank God for it. Yet Africa is also the poorest, because when you come out of the grave, you are still having the grave clothes. You now need wisdom to break that. That is where I hope you see where I'm going now. I'm not taking you to what I want to talk about this morning. The curse of Eve is not broken because you are born again. So you can be born again, you will still push and cry. But true, you see, man has also neutralized the curse of Eve. And man has used gynecology. Do you understand? And I think obstetrics, something like that. Which is the study of a pregnant woman. When a woman becomes pregnant, people can study her. Medicine. The advancement in medicine has made it cheap for a woman to give birth today. Many women give birth and don't even feel. My wife gave birth to my children watching herself. She watched that they are taking the thing out. She's just watching. No crying. Like 30 minutes before my wife went to theater, we're taking pictures, smiling. And I posted them on Facebook. People are like, no, this guy is not really in the hospital. You can't be in the hospital giving birth and smiling like this. No, we neutralize the curse of Eve through technological advancement and medicine. Are you following me? Now, that is where we hit now. You see, last week I told you about the curse of Adam, the curse of Eve, and I told you about the curse of Noah.
As you can see, being born again does not stop the curse of Adam. You need to develop something to stop it. Being born again does not stop the curse of Eve. You need to develop something to stop it. Therefore, being born again does not stop the curse of Noah. Jesus did not deliver us from the curse of Noah, from the curse of the law. Moses, he dealt with Moses, not Noah. Actually, on the mountain, he appeared with Moses and Elijah, not Noah. Noah is not in that group. That's why African people are religious. They fast and they pray so much. I don't know another group that loves God like black. I'm telling you, I'm talking about this time and age we are in. I don't know another group that loves God the way we do. That serves him the way we do. But in all our praying, we are still struggling with poverty. We are still struggling with poor living conditions. We are still struggling with poor education. We are still struggling with poor sanitization, lack of infrastructure, lack of development in all our praying, in all the churches we have. So much so that people have started criticizing the church that if there are so many churches, how come there's poverty? You see, that is the dilemma that people are having, is that if God is with us, how come things are like this? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Unfortunately, whenever you downplay wisdom, do you understand? When you downplay wisdom, you are setting yourself up for some serious disappointments. No matter who you are. No matter who you are. I have come to believe that in Africa, we don't only have a sin problem. We have a sin problem and a skin problem. In other words, the issue of color, do you understand, affects the African believer. It is not just a sin problem you are dealing with. You're also dealing with it. In fact, some African try to even scrub their skins, thinking that way they will take away whatever is connected to. But it doesn't go anywhere, because it is not just the skin. It's deeper than that. Yeah. And I know this is a very controversial type of a thing. So, guess what? We'll talk about it next week. Next week, because I'm still introducing it to you. Do you understand? Like, I know that some of you can't wait. Even this morning, you are saying, yeah, you must say it. I will say it. But I'm just sending you reasons first before I start, so that by the time I start, you don't get angry with me. But you just see that this is our problem. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law, not the curse of Noah, or the curse of Adam, or the curse of Eve. And I came to tell you this morning that anything that is fighting you right now, Jesus has the capacity to stop it, but you need to engage the two sides of Jesus, his power and his wisdom. Both have to come in play. Praise the name of Jesus. Yes. You see, as I'm closing, you know, I want to be honest with you. You know, if you are honest with yourself, you will agree with me that there is no logical explanation to the state of the black man on this world. You can't explain why everybody has managed to rise except him. No, not everybody was as developed as they are today. No. Just a few centuries ago, India was nothing. There was no Singapore. There was nothing like that. It was just a few places. Most of those countries were colonized, equally like Africa. But for some strange reason, some of them have risen now. They are even competing at a world level. And African people and African countries have remained at the bottomless bottom. What explains that? That a black man in America is claiming for, he's fighting for Black Lives Matter in 2020.
Which other group in this world have you seen taking plaques and saying white lives matter, Indian lives? Only us. In 2020, we are still trying to make people see that we exist. There's a serious problem behind there. We can pretend it's not there. We can behave as if we are okay. But deep down, we all know, wherever we find ourselves, there are certain realities that just start manifesting themselves out of us, which you don't find in any other group. Now I'm asking you, what causes that? You can travel Africa bottom to top, top to bottom. The reality is the same. It is the same. Anywhere where our people are found on this world, go there, you will find the same reality. It's as if they have transported Africa there. Same problems. Can't be normal. Now, there are a few exceptions there and there, I don't want to lie. But as to compare to the reality, those exceptions are nothing. And my prayer is that many of us will become that exception, actually. That you and I will become the exception that I'm talking about. Brothers and sisters, the African believer does not just have a sin problem, he has a skin problem too. He struggles with his skin. He struggles to fit in a world that has advanced 200 years ahead of him. He's trying to figure out his way. People are going to mass. We are still trying to just get water. People are trying to take water to mass. We are trying to take water to the house. And we are not winning. I came to announce to you, this thing that has affected the black man, that has affected the African man, must end. Amen. And it's going to end by the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I'm now inviting you practically, please, don't miss next Sunday. Because next Sunday we are neutralizing that curse. By God's help and by God's grace. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. And I want you to stand on your feet this morning. Stand on your feet, please, everybody. Remember, this morning we learn that through the power of God, Lazarus was brought out of the grave. And there are many people watching me this morning. And can I tell you something? It looks like you are alive, but you're actually dead. Because life is only found in Jesus. I'm not talking about being a church member. I'm saying, are you free? I know you go to church, but are you free? Jesus says, I am the truth. And another place he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And he says, I am the truth. So when you really come across Jesus, you come across freedom. I know you are coming to church, but are you free? Or are you still bound? Right now, I want to invite somebody that is saying, Pastor, this message today is for me. I need Jesus in my life. I need both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, the greatest mistake you can make is to try to break a curse by going to other people, you know, other sources. You are just making matters worse. The only authorized source to break the curse is Jesus. It's Jesus. So, I'm telling you, are you born again? If you are not born again, quickly, I want to pray with you right now. I want to help you connect to divinity, to eternity, to the Son of God. He says, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. That speaks of the blessing. Killing, stealing, and destroying, that's the curse. Change governments today. Change governments now. Choose Jesus. Choose life. Choose the blessing. At the count of three, you are saying, Pastor, I want Jesus, not just for church going. I want Jesus for curse breaking. I want Jesus for life abundant. I want Jesus for something greater. I know you've heard the gospel before, but this morning I'm encouraging you and I'm challenging you. Believe the power of God and believe the wisdom of God. At the count of three, you want Jesus. I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all the stream side leaders to come and stand in front of the screens wherever they are. All the stream side leaders, please come and stand in front of the screen. Thank you so much. Now, all of you that raise your hands, you can take your hands down. Secondly, if you are watching, you are already born again. But you know that you know that you know. Your hands are tight. Your feet are tight. Your head is tight. You've gone back to the grave where Jesus took you out of. I'm talking to you. You've backslidden. You've slid back inside the grave. Jesus sent me this morning to call you out again. He said, come out. Come and join the company and the congregation of the living. Come out of that place. You are saying this morning, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Oh, I feel His presence. I feel His presence. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want life. I want Jesus. If that is you, at the count of three, you can raise your right hand as well. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. All of you that are raising your hands, our stream side leaders are taking note of you. Now, I'm going to encourage you, wherever you are in the stream side or in the church, wherever you are watching from, if you are watching online, you can just do it as I'm saying. But wherever you are, I want to encourage you to come to the front. Come and meet the stream side leader wherever they are. Come and join them now. Come and join them now. Please put your hands together wherever they are. Put your hands together as they are coming. As they are coming, put your hands together. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Keep coming. Put your hands together as they are coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to pray together and I'm going to release you in the hands of the stream side leaders. Let's pray together and I'm going to release you. Please repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for neutralizing the curses in my life, in my family, in my relationships, in my finances, everywhere. Thank you, Jesus, because you love me. You are turning the curse into a blessing. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' precious name, amen.